It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Friday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash? Call Celino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
Good morning. I love the show. You guys pump me up every morning on the way to work.
Loosen ourselves, I'm
Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
We want to pump you up.
Go Bills! Let's go!
I gotta say, I'm just fired up to be here today.
I love Buffalo. Go Bills!
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, back here on a Football Friday. Football Friday brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash, call Celino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Jeremy and Joe with you as we gear up for Bills-Titans. Sunday, 1 o'clock, we've got a Titans guest coming up. Bottom of the hour, Tyler Rowland will join us to talk about the Titans. In studio with us right now, former Buffalo Bills wide receiver, Stevie Johnson, to talk about the next book in the series of children's books. We've got these at home. My kids read these. Freddie J. Finds a Way, like all of them. The next one is Eric Wood, Centers on What's Good. Mm-hmm. So we'll tell you about this book, where you can get it, how you can get it, and we'll also talk about the Bills and Amari Cooper and the newest move for the Bills at wide receiver, which is exciting. So, Stevie, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me again. Shout out to the WGR family and all the listeners. You know, thanks for having us again.
Glad to have you. Glad to have you. Let's start with the book. You've done your own, Stevie Johnson. Fitz did a book. Fred Jackson did a book, and now Eric Wood. So, number four, and how many? We're going to go pretty deep with this?
Yeah, it's unlimited. You know, the creation is unlimited with the HBHF creators. You know, I have my partner and co-author here, Charlie Roberts, with me. And, I mean, we talk every day, you know, if not talking about another creation weekly, you know. So we're just looking for stories to spread, you know, and spark the mind of people. You know, our thought process on this was just to, you know, expand more stories, you know, so people can understand that everybody's going through something. Everybody has an obstacle that they had to overcome. Even their favorite players that look like things are perfect, you know, they still have something to go through. And with this book, with Eric Wood, it's something special because it wasn't just an obstacle that he had to go through personally. Or with his skill, it was with a family member. And I don't want to give up too much, but the book is special. And it was something that I didn't even know about my own teammate.
Yeah.
You know? So it's pretty cool that we got to explain it.
Yeah, the series, it's a series of children's books that, like, you tell a story about overcoming an obstacle, resilience, teaching kids how to, you know, just learn to battle through that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And you'll be out at Resurgence tomorrow, Chicago Street, 2 o'clock tomorrow, and Eric's going to be there to sign copies of this as well.
Yeah, so this will be our launch, actually. So you guys come down to Resurgence Brewery 2 p.m. tomorrow, and you can meet Eric, you can meet myself. We'll also have another treat with the UK Bills backers, and the Bills backers from Germany will be in the building also. So, you know, you can come get a flick with everybody and, have a good time.
Very nice. Game on Sunday at 1 o'clock against the Titans. And again, for tomorrow, 250 of these books available, and QR codes, options to buy more, to buy some of the old ones as well. So that's tomorrow's event at Resurgence, 2 o'clock. Everybody's going to be asking you at the event, I imagine, about Amari Cooper and like what this means for the Bills. So let's start with Cooper himself. Like, what you think about him as a player? It seems like a lot of people around the league just think, like, this guy can play. This guy's a good player and has been for a long time.
Absolutely, and I feel the same way. You know, as a fellow receiver, you know, we study these guys that come in, and, you know, Amari Cooper is special because I actually watched him when he was in high school. I seen him from high school going on to the University of Alabama, and I was an SEC guy, so obviously I look close at those guys. And what I saw was just confidence in his route skill, not just saying I'm confident because I'm a good player. You know, it's more than just saying you're a good player, but you got to put the work in, and you see it with Amari Cooper. And what makes me see that he's different is he can control his tempo, he can control his pace, and that's something that I think our offense was missing, you know, a outlet that can control his tempo for Josh for at least 2.5 seconds, you know, for Josh to be comfortable before he turns into playmaker Josh.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to see that out of this new Buffalo Bills team. And it's going to take us over the top, you know, adding Amari Cooper with these pieces that we already have. It's amazing for us.
When you say tempo, they showed a clip on that show, the facility that LeSean McCoy's on with Emmanuel Acho, and they showed him – he's one-on-one coverage, and they broke down that he started his route and he kind of like rocked the guy to sleep, like a couple of slow steps there before hitting the break. And I thought about you a little bit, like, because sometimes you watch the NFL, you watch receivers, you think it's all played at one speed. But for receivers especially, there's a lot of ability to kind of play with that tempo a bit.
Yeah, and I want to give you guys a fun fact, like Fitzpatrick. I give a lot of credit to Fitzpatrick because every time, you know, I'm around here, they say, hey, I mean, I wish you would have been able to play with Josh and, you know, this and that. And I played with a person like Josh with Fitzpatrick because when we talk about tempo, at that time, coaches was telling Fitzpatrick, he was telling Fitz, three steps, five steps, then let it go. You got to let it go. That means the receiver got to move fast too. Yeah. And what was I known for? Creating separation. And you need time. You need pace. You know, you got to pace your routes. And Fitz, he sacrificed himself to give me that 2.5 seconds to get open. And when I talk about me and Fitz, now everybody don't have to say I wish you to play with Josh. Now you got Amari Cooper. He's a level above me, and he's playing with Josh. So enjoy this because you're about to see something special with Cooper and Josh.
Is something like that why it could take, maybe not the whole year, but a little bit of time for Josh and Cooper to get on the same page? Because it's more than just him getting open. There's timing and tempo stuff that goes along with it, too.
Yeah, that's a good question, and it's understandable. But, you know, when you got a guy like Amari Cooper, who is cerebral, he came into the league as a rookie in 2015, and he racked up 1,500 yards. That's amazing for a rookie to come in the league and do that. You know, so I feel like when he comes to this team, it's nothing new. All you need is a couple hours with your new quarterback and communicate, and things will be smooth. You know, it's not that difficult because the playbooks, they are big, but they're all these plays are similar. It's just different names for them.
Is it the kind of thing where if Bills fans are hoping to see him on Sunday, maybe they give him like 20 plays? Like, you only have to learn this many. Or how would it work for a receiver going to a team mid-season like that?
With this situation, I feel like he's probably going to go over 100 yards. He'll go over 100 yards. He'll probably win by 30. Everybody go to Delta Sonic and get a free car wash. You know what I'm saying? Because when the Bills win, we all win.
Yeah. So you're expecting big things from Cooper. All right. When you look at how that one player affects the rest of the receiver core, I mean, Bills fans, you know, they're off to a good start. They're 4-2. But even on Monday, we were taking a lot of calls. Like, they still need help there. They still need help there on the outside. What does his presence on the outside do for Kincaid, Shakir, and the other guys in the room?
To start it off, let's think about Cincinnati. I always brought this example up. When Cincinnati didn't have T. Higgins, one piece, you know, Ja'Marr Chase was in the media about his stats, this and that, what's going on. As soon as T. Higgins came in, then that same week, Ja'Marr Chase put up dang near 200 yards. You know, now you add an Amari Cooper with this team with, I feel, more weapons than the Cincinnati Bengals had. It's just going to open it up for everybody. We've been living by that mantra, everybody eats. And it was that, but when you think about everybody eats in this offense with Josh, he wasn't comfortable. I saw it. You know, he's not comfortable. He didn't have an outlet that he can go to. And now we're going to see a real everybody ease because he's got an outlet and he's got a defense with eyes on either the left side of the field or the right side of the field, which will open up for others.
How much harder is it to get open on the outside like he's been able to do versus the guys that typically live more over the middle?
It's only difficult if you don't have that connection with the quarterback. You know, like I said, if you can't utilize your pace and your tempo or your what makes you different, then it's going to be a little different. You can still win, as we saw, but you guys are going to see what y'all saw with me and Amari, you know, and I just can't wait for it to, you know, to be comfortable so that you guys can really see how this connection with Josh and Amari go. I feel like we'll end up signing him later on into more years.
Could be a contract extension coming. Stevie Johnson in studio here chatting with us about the Bills. How about the rest of the room? Let's get your thoughts on Keon Coleman's rookie season. We've seen flashes, but, you know, coming into an offense like this and coming to the NFL, I feel like it's, you know, it can be tough for a rookie, and expectations on a rookie can be tough. So how have you felt about Coleman so far?
Yeah, I actually like what Coleman's done. I'm impressed with how he mentally stays strong with the position that he was put in. They say, hey, we obviously don't have that guy, but we want you to be that guy here. You go do that. Try to rush him into it, and he didn't fall. He didn't complain. He didn't make no excuses. He had good plays, bad plays. He just kept going. Understand? This is the game. I got to learn it. So I really like that about him. You know, he's mentally tough. Now with him going to if he's going to the Z or wherever he's going to go, it's just going to make him more comfortable. And we may see more big plays from Keon, and not necessarily downfield, but plays where he can get open underneath and he's going to just extend the play. So I'm looking forward to it.
They like him on those drag routes. They like him on that, like the deep dig, I think is something they had him run a lot. And we saw a lot from him at camp doing that. You feel like Coleman is the one that might benefit the most from Cooper's presence? Could that be Kincaid? Could that be Shakir? Of course, like, you know, everybody's going to enjoy this, but who stands to gain the most?
Dang, you know what? I feel like Shakir may still have that title because, you know, I seen him get the ball out quicker to Shakir, you know, so I think he'll get a little bit more touches. You know, he won't be at the X side where you have to wait 2 or 3 seconds. You can be on a slot side with a tight end with you in a Z and then do a little fake turnaround, get the ball quick, you know. So I think Shakir, stats-wise, will, you know, he'll be the one to lead that. But I think, again, everybody's going to get open. I think Mac will get open more. I feel like Kincaid will always get open more, but Amari opened the door for everybody.
Is there a guy in the league right now that reminds you of yourself and all that you watch around the league and like you can kind of see some similarities?
So it's funny that you say that. So I always give shout out to Keenan Allen.
Yeah.
But throughout this year, you know, I picked up an analyst job, so I had to look at a lot of the receivers. And it's funny that we ended up picking up Amari Cooper. So I ended up posting the route of the week, maybe a couple – when the Browns played the Giants, he did a slant route, and it was pretty much the same way I did my slant against the Browns when me and Fitz was playing. And I mashed it up on my social, and I'll repost it today, but I like what Amari Cooper has to
bring. How many different ways are there to run a slant?
There's tons. There's tons really? Of different ways, yeah. You just got to be creative, and you got to have that communication with your quarterback, because if you don't, there's only one or two ways to run it.
Right. You know, we always hear the phrase, like, release packages. What kind of release package does this receiver have? Does he have 5 different ways to beat the guy?
Yeah.
And, you know, teams are kind of being aggressive and playing a lot of man defense against this Bills team. So hopefully we see that change. You know, Joe, as the receiver you see in the league that reminds you of yourself, how about just the rookie class? You know, we mentioned Coleman, Marvin Harrison Jr. or Neighbors
looks insane.
Or Brian Thomas Jr. I mean, like, you got one of these guys you really like more than others?
Well, like I was saying with the SEC, you know, I always watch the SEC guys. So, obviously, Malik Neighbors is one of those guys that I paid attention to. And he just looked like he's over and beyond. But the one that really got my attention is Jaden Daniels. You know, the quarterback going to the Washington Commanders. Yeah. That was what he's doing now. It kind of reminds me, like, are we seeing a young Lamar Jackson right now? You know, how he's taking over this team and changing that culture up there. I'm really impressed with that. But when it comes to receivers, yeah, I mean, props to all of them. Great work by Marvin Harrison being a legacy child and doing what he's doing. But, yeah, I keep it in the SEC. So I give props to Malik Neighbors out there in New York.
All right.
Big SEC games this week? I think there's a big one, right?
Yeah, you big SEC guy. Are you big SEC guy with the teams that, like, just got in here, like, the last year or
SEC,
two?
Like,
Texas this week. Like, that's SEC now. Like, it's so hard to keep track of.
Yeah. No. You know, I only mess with Texas when, you know, I can holla at Marquise Goodwin and Aaron Williams and have some fun with them.
Yeah.
But, I'm through and through with the originals, man. I really keep it Kentucky.
Kentucky's at the Swamp this week.
Yeah.
And going to get it done?
We'll see. You know, it's always interesting going down to the Swamp. You know, when you got guys that's never been there, you know, you go down there, it's like it can get smothering because that crowd is right behind you. You know, so it's always a great atmosphere.
Yeah. Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, Texas.
Alabama
all this week.
Off that Vanderbilt loss last week.
Brutal.
Crazy. Yeah. All right, Stevie. Well, thanks for coming in again. Saturday, tomorrow at Resurgence. The book is Eric Wood Centers on What's Good, and you can get this book autographed by Eric, and you'll be there as well. You can autograph as well. I mean, get the whole everybody
the mafia
on this.
They know what's up with
all right. Be a good party there at Resurgence. Good pregame. Got a bunch of Bills backers, UK and Germany Bills backers. They're going to the game, I would imagine. Like
And if y'all going to the game, stop on the corner of Abbott and Allen, and you can possibly pick up some more books. You know, we'll be at the Gorilla Lot hanging out for the tailgate. And, having a good time.
Very good. Awesome. Always good to chat with you. Good luck with the project and excited for the next book as well. CV Johnson here. We're going to break in and continue Football Friday here on WGR.
WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way.
football.
Super, super great, great American football Friday frenzy.
All right, what do we got?
What did the grape say when it got stepped on?
Oh, here we go. Here we go. What did the grape say when it got stepped on? What?
Nothing, just a little wine.
Woo!
Man. Free! This show's free. That's pretty good. Isn't that... No? All right, Super Great American Football Friday.
A little
Friday.
Wine?
Nothing, just a little wine.
Okay.
Josh likes it.
I thought it was great. I didn't know where you were going with that, but I thought it was great.
I've got a link of like 300 dad jokes just ready to rock
it's never gonna end.
Any time. Listen,
have to be thousands.
I'm being choosy. Some of these aren't like groan laughs. Yeah,
what's a bad one?
You want one of the bad?
Yeah, what's one like you came across like not worth it?
Let me see.
Because they're all bad. That's the point, right? They're so bad.
Some of them are just actually bad though.
Yeah, like they're not funny. In any way?
Yeah. They're just... Then there's a couple of good ones, like, why didn't the lifeguard save the hippie? He was too far out. That's a good one. I'm good with that one.
I'll give the good ones the rim shot, and then if not, then...
You need, like, a buzzer. Or, like, a... Dun-dun-dun-dun. Is that the Price is Right when they mess up?
All right, like, here's a bad one. How many ears does Captain Kirk have?
How many ears? How many?
Three. The left ear, the right ear, and the final frontier. I just wouldn't use that one. I just don't want that.
That's not even good by dad joke standards.
No, I agree.
Also, you'd have to know who Captain Kirk is.
Right.
Which, probably less and less, I would think. Right?
Maybe. Anyway, 803-0550. Why is sausage bad for you?
Why?
It brings out the worst in people. See, like,
some
of these I wouldn't do.
I would have passed on that one.
See?
I would have passed on
so
that one.
So every time I give you one of these, I want you to trust that I've chosen a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. The grape one was better than the other ones I've heard.
Yes, grape one was very good. I liked the grape one. Okay. Football Friday, friends.
Bring the football music back up.
So what games are we going to get? We're up against one of the best... Nope, that's next
week. What are the 1 o'clock games I'm missing because the Bills are actually not on primetime this week?
Okay, you're missing one of the best games of the week. Nance and Romo have Houston at Green Bay.
Oh, we skipped over. What's the London game again? New England, Jacksonville?
Yes.
Okay, that'll be 9:30.
Kind of can't believe that New England's a 5.5-point dog.
Take them.
I'm going to take New England. I'm going to take them to cover. I'm going to take some Drake May props. Against Jacksonville? Everybody eats against Jacksonville.
Yeah, this could be the start, by the way, of the London curse this year, where coaches get fired after getting back from London. Because if Doug Peterson loses to the Jaguars,
he's getting fired.
He's got to get fired.
He might get fired anyway.
Yeah.
But they couldn't fire him mid-London trip. I've not found...
Fire him in London?
Yeah. I've not found what day the Patriots went to London. I might want to look into what day they went over there to determine if they're going to win or not.
I got the line, by the way, up to Jags -6 now.
Wow. Houston, Green Bay, that's the game of the day. Most of the country, Midwest, South, is getting Houston at Green Bay. Nance and Romo at that game.
Go Green Bay.
We get
one-seed stuff.
Andrew Catalan, Tiki Barber, and Jason McCourty on Bills Titans.
Okay.
Other 1 o'clock games we miss. Cincinnati at Cleveland. Nick Chubb, limited role.
Yeah.
Is Nick Chubb about to return at 28 and be awesome again?
On another devastating knee injury?
Yeah.
Yeah, he might.
Maybe he's Adrian Peterson. Every once in a while, you get one of these running backs that lasts forever. Derrick Henry, he's never had the major injury, knock on wood, right? Henry looks like this. Like, oh, no, he's going to be amazing. I saw a really funny skit of, like, guys pretending to be high schoolers.
Yeah.
And they were preparing for a game against Derrick Henry.
Okay.
Like what are his stats? He's 6'3", 220. Oh, my God. What's he doing? He's going to Alabama. I can't play.
Well, Chubb also coming back, there's been more talk that they're going to want to run the football more as Chubb comes back. And by the way, their number one receiver is not now on the Bills. Do you know, by the way, who the top two teams in the league are in neutral pass rate on the season?
I think it's Seattle.
Number one is Cincinnati.
Okay.
Number two is Cleveland.
Neutral pass rate.
How about that? Yeah. They are at 62%. So that's going to change. One, their quarterback is horrible, and now they're maybe going to have a run game back. So I think they're about to run the ball like triple the amount that they have so far this year.
Yeah. Carolina at Washington is a late game on CBS. That's going to have some points, 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 points.
Yeah.
And Vegas and the Rams. Kyron Williams. Ew.
That's not a great
maybe
game.
Now Vegas. Now what's Vegas going to start doing?
The Rams are getting Cooper Kupp back.
I have an unbelievable stat on Aiden O'Connell.
Okay.
You've never heard a stat like this in your entire life, I promise.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You're sure?
Yes.
I've heard a lot of stats.
Yes. Here it is. So, this came from Patrick Claibon, who is NFL Network.
Okay.
This is incredible. Aiden O'Connell has not attempted a single scramble on any of his 442 dropbacks since entering the NFL.
Not one?
Not one.
Not like chased out of the pocket one time? Like
he is the only quarterback in the Next Gen Stats era to not record a single scramble on any dropback. Minimum 150 dropbacks. He's at 442. He has not scrambled ever in his life, man, in the NFL.
Is he just like the least athletic quarterback of all time? Or is he just not wanted? I don't know. That's weird.
That's a guy that stays in the pocket.
That is a... Yes.
Can you imagine?
Never once leaving. He's never left the pocket.
You ever thought about it, Aiden?
Yeah.
You know, consider it maybe once. Aiden O'Connell. Just nuts. All right, so Vegas and the Raiders. Other games.
1 o'clock games, you got Seattle and Atlanta.
Yes, Seattle, Atlanta, which the Falcons are going to...
That's a big over-under, too.
The Falcons are going to win that game and move to what? Four and two? I mean, Atlanta is... It was a really rocky start for Kirk Cousins, and now they look like they can play.
Yeah. Well, remember, the week one game was the one where like they didn't do anything with him.
Right, he didn't move at all.
And now they... He's doing some play action. Yeah, they're 4-2.
4-2.
Beat Seattle. And that division, it's competitive because Tampa right now is also 4-2. And do they also have the head-to-head maybe already? I don't remember. Meanwhile, the NFC West is kind of...
Falling apart.
Yeah, like Niners and Seahawks are both 3-3.
And the Cardinals...
The other two divisions look like they got some top teams.
And the trendy, sexy Cardinals are not that sexy and trendy anymore.
And then you've got Dolphins-Colts. That game I actually think might be important for the Colts to win. Because the Dolphins might hang around if they get a win. If they can find a way to squeak out a win, then they go to 3-3 with Tua coming back. Like, that would be your team that could hang around in the division. So get a loss on their resume while Tua is still out against... Richardson is very, you know, up and down, so yeah. Who knows what version you're getting of him.
Miami, Indy, maybe not a game you want to watch. There are some good games. Detroit at Minnesota. Top of the NFC North.
All NFC North games are good, though.
Yep. Yeah. Philadelphia and the Giants. Malik Nabers looks like he's back. And the big, big game of the week, nationally televised, that gets the entire country, is the Fox late game. Kansas City at San Francisco. Yep. Tom Brady calling that game with Kevin Burkhardt. The latest reviews of Brady on the broadcast I've seen have been that he's great. He figured it out. He did it. I've not seen any of his games because all he has called is blowout Cowboys losses. But this will be an opportunity. Kansas City at San Francisco, Super Bowl rematch, Brady on the broadcast.
Now officially starts, though, the times where he cannot go to opposing team facilities or meet with other teams.
Right.
Because now he is officially Raiders minority owner.
Yep. All right. That's your Super Great American Football Friday.
What's Sunday Night Football?
Sunday night is...
And then we have a Monday Night Doubleheader. All right, Jets and Steelers.
Jets-Steelers is Sunday night. And the Monday Night Doubleheader includes Ravens and Bucks, which is good.
8:15.
And then Cardinals and Chargers.
At 9. Steelers on Sunday night. You buy they're going to start Wilson?
Yeah.
I saw yesterday that they will be the first team in NFL history to bench their starting quarterback of the first six games who had a winning record for the seventh game.
Hmm.
It's never happened. Not even like an injured guy that was out and the backup went 4-2 and then they benched the backup. Like, it's never happened what they're about to do. I don't know if I buy it, though.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
That's your Super Great American Football Friday frenzy. To the Bills game, and the Bills, of course, will be covering or playing the Tennessee Titans. I almost said they'll be covering the game. I do think they will cover. Tyler Rowland joins us on the Western Hotline to chat about Bills and Titans. Tyler, good morning. Jeremy and Joe, thanks for taking some time today ahead of this game.
Yeah, Jeremy and Joe, appreciate it. It is a good morning. It's a football Friday. Got some high school football tonight, college tomorrow. I love these football weekends.
Yeah, we're excited about it. I mean, all right, so let's talk about this Bills-Titans game and the matchup. Tennessee, they have a good defense. Everything I see says good defense. They don't give up big plays through the air, fewest yards per game allowed in the NFL. That might be a function of who they've played. How real is this Titans defense?
You know, I would say that they're a good defense. I don't think it's a situation where it's completely fraudulent and, you know, they have these good stats and they're actually not a good defense. I think they're a good defense. Now, I got to tell you, from watching the film and looking at some of the problems that they have on defense and the pass rush and getting consistent pressure, I don't think that they're as good of a defense as the stats say, number one, in all these categories. But I do think they're a good defense. And if they're able to manufacture pressure with blitzes and get some pressure on the quarterback that way, they aren't a team they could just sit back and rush four and get the job done. But if they can manufacture some pressure and turn that into some turnovers, which I think they'll get some positive turnover regression here in the next few weeks after not getting very many turnovers in the first 6 weeks of the year, I think they can be a good defense, you know, somewhere between 8-15, 8-14, something like that. But the elite defense that they look like right now, I think maybe a little overzealous.
Big time rookie addition, Tavondre Sweat. I've read a lot about his impact being a big one.
Yeah, I mean, and quite honestly, I was not a big fan of the pick coming out of Texas because some of the concerns I had, mostly off the field concerns, but he has been just an absolute professional, and his ability to allow the Titans to stop the run in their nickel defense, because he can occupy so many offensive linemen and allow those linebackers, Ernest Jones and Kenneth Murray, who are really downhill linebackers. They're not guys you want going, you know, backwards and pass coverage, but they can get downhill and shoot those gaps because Sweat and, of course, Jeffrey Simmons, who people already know, they take up so many offensive linemen, you can't beat them easily. So that allows the linebackers to kind of do their job. He's starting to develop even more as a pass rusher as well. Got great hands, good pass rush sequencing with his combination moves. He's really turned into a great player. And I think, honestly, right now, he's the defensive rookie of the year in the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah, I think by the odds, I actually think he's up there too. In terms of the offense so far, what's the story? Is it just that Will Levis looks very erratic through the first few games of the season?
Yeah, I think that's fair. Obviously, early in the year, I'm sure everyone saw the clips and the memes or whatever. He just made some boneheaded turnovers at the beginning of the season, and I think that's affected his confidence. He's been a guy in his rookie year that wanted to push the ball down the field and was very aggressive, and I think because he's scared to make those turnovers again, he wants to kind of dial it back now, but you simply can't play that way. I mean, you look at the Titans, they're running the ball very well. The offensive line is improved from what it's been the last few years. There are guys open. I'm a guy who breaks down the tape every single week and puts out clips and makes my film breakdown videos, and there are guys open, and Levis is just, he's a second late. He pats the ball. He takes an extra hitch in the pocket. And when you do that at the NFL level, it's going to be a knock away or it's going to be an interception. And a couple of these plays, about five or six plays in that game against Indianapolis, he had guys open and he was either a touch late or a touch on the back shoulder instead of the front. And like Al Pacino said in Any Given Sunday, the inches make the difference, and they're making the difference for Will Levis right now.
There was a game earlier in the year where Mason Rudolph went in, and it was okay, right? 9 of 17.
Right. Miami game.
And the head coach was very firm, like, no, we're going back to Will Levis when he's available. Is there any chatter about a change or a leash, or is this really a process that they're going to give him?
Well, I think there's an impatient portion of the fan base who just wants that instant gratification of a win, and you want to go on social media and puff your chest out and tell other people that their team lost and you won. But the reality is Mason Rudolph limits your ceiling too. You put Mason Rudolph in, what, the Titans win five games with Mason Rudolph and three with Will Levis. It's a risk-reward conversation, and the reward of Will Levis developing and turning into a guy that can be your franchise quarterback outweighs the reward of Mason Rudolph giving you a couple extra wins in the season. This team likely will be 1-6 2 weeks from now after losing at Buffalo and losing at Detroit after that game. And, you know, you throw Mason Rudolph in, are you going to the playoffs? Are you turning it around that much? And then when you get there, what are you doing? To me, it's all about being a sustainable high-level winner with a chance to win a Super Bowl every year. And what's best for the Titans to do that is to figure out whether Levis can be that guy and let him work through this. Maybe they don't make the playoffs now because of the slow start. But if Levis does turn it around halfway through the year and you go into next year like, okay, he turned it around, he developed in this new system, he looks good, well, then you don't have to waste another high pick on a quarterback and you can add to the roster and make things better. So, you know, I'm not saying that Will Levis is going to be Josh Allen, because I would say that he's probably not going to be their franchise quarterback going forward based on what I've seen. But some guys take a long time, and seeing Geno Smith and Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold and some of these guys turn it around, it only makes sense for the Titans to keep Will Levis in and see what he can do, whether it means more losses or not.
How much, if they do that where they go like 1-6, if they lose the next couple, how much do you think that would surprise the Titans? They have a young quarterback here that they're trying to figure out what he is, but at the same time, like, they do kind of have this veteran nucleus that they, with signing Ridley in the offseason, the big Snead trade, Hopkins still being there. Like, do you think they would have been expecting, obviously, to do better than 1-6, but would they not have been expecting to compete for a playoff spot this season?
Honestly, they should have been like one of those teams that's on the bubble. I didn't forecast the Titans making the playoffs this year, but I thought, you know, 8-9, 7-10, they're on the bubble graphic in December. Like, they at least have a shot, and they know they have a shot if they play very well. I didn't think they were good enough to do that because some of the big weaknesses on the team. But it is a bit of a shock that they're as bad as they are. And quite honestly, it comes down to those boneheaded mistakes Will Levis has made. They were up 17-0 against Chicago in week one. Rookie quarterbacks rarely win in their debuts. And Levis throws that terrible flip to the sideline that gets taken back for a pick six, and then the underhanded fumble against the Jets in the red zone. Like, they've just made such unbelievable errors. I'm a guy who goes to middle school and high school football games every single week, and Will Levis is making mistakes that I don't even see in those games. So the fact that, you know, obviously you think you're going to lose to Buffalo, you think you're going to lose on the road to Detroit, those are tough games, division game against the Colts. Those are tough games no matter what. But the way that they blew their opportunities in the first 2 weeks of the season, I think they're going to look back at that and be like, man, if Levis just didn't make those boneheaded mistakes, then the Titans are, you know, 2-3 or, you know, 3-3 right now. And they still feel like they have a shot, even if they struggle through a tough part of their schedule.
Tyler Rowland of the Locked On Titans podcast. Tyler, thanks so much for taking some time, and enjoy the game Sunday.
I don't know how much I'm going to enjoy it, but I think you guys will. Either way, I can't wait for the football.
All right. Thanks, Tyler. Yeah, we plan to. How about Stevie Johnson telling us that UK Bills backers and Germany's Bills backers are in town?
I'm glad he said Germany after, because when he said UK Bills backers, I thought he meant Kentucky. Yeah, but no, from England or Britain.
I mean, they've picked themselves an elite fall Sunday.
Yeah,
I mean, Sunday.
What are we looking at?
We are looking at,
man, I need look at
absolute
the
perfect temperatures. We're approaching peak foliage season as well.
Look at the weather.
I mean, Sunday is high of 67.
Oh, The next 5 days in general. Oh. But yeah, Sunday looks beautiful. 65. The sun with the one little cloud next to it.
Yeah.
That's the right emoji.
I asked like the smart speaker like when it's going to rain. Like, hey, is it going to rain tonight? And the answer was Wednesday. Oh, okay.
Wednesday. After it'll be 72 and sunny on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Come on.
Perfect conditions. Elite season again.
Fall golf. Football weather.
Yeah.
Hoodie and shorts. The crisp chill at night that you got.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the next week is gonna be prime.
It's good stuff. It's fire season if you want to have like a little fire.
Yes.
A little campfire, a little bonfire season.
This is gonna be the best weather game of the season. Calling it right now.
Yeah. The other candidates would be after this one, it's Seattle.
They play on Halloween.
They play
they're at Seattle. Then they play,
the 27th is that's at Seattle.
Home Miami on November 3rd. We could still be good by then.
Yep. Then at Indy, then home. I mean, November 17th, 425, Bills Chiefs. That'll probably be like what? 35 neighborhood?
It won't be. No, maybe 4 o'clock? Actually, you might be right.
I mean, 4 o'clock afternoon. So you might be right in terms of comfortable.
Sun will be out.
What you want fall to be.
I say that now. No, do we look at, is it going to be like 50 mile per hour winds on a?
I don't think so.
On Sunday? Because the weather, we were driving to the Jet game. Sun was out. Same thing. It was like 60s. Like, oh, it's going to be a perfect day. And then you get out of the car, just wind in your face.
Yeah.
I'm looking right now, though. I don't see a lot of wind. Nope. Hold on a second. 12 mile per hour wind on average, 28 mile per hour wind gusts.
Gusts
of 28. That's not nothing.
Yeah.
That's a good number.
803-0550 is our phone number, and 1-888-550-2550 if you want to reach us. Around the NFL, you know, we did our little Super Great American Football Friday frenzy. The doubleheader on Monday night. So I'm reading here at ProFootballTalk.com that other NFL media outlets are upset by what's happening. That Monday Night Football, the fact that they redid it with two games.
Yeah.
He's got a story here about the rules are changing and one company is benefiting. That's ABC. That by giving them the double headers, you know, why?
Yeah.
These other streaming companies, are you ready for Amazon to say, we want two Thursday night games?
Mm-hmm.
I guess.
And that, then when does it end?
That could be something that happens. I think the Monday night doubleheader is great.
I also do like it a lot because, man, you can get a dog game and then the night is just like.
Even so.
Last night, I would have liked there to have been a second. Well, last night I was okay because you had the Sabre game going on, although that wasn't fun. And then you had two baseball games at the same time. So yeah. Last night, you know, I had enough to go around to watch. But on a typical Thursday, if it's just football, and last night I got Spencer Rattler getting blown out by the Broncos, I would have liked there to have been a second game.
Right. You get this week three late afternoon windows, and the alternative is this: that the Cardinals and Chargers are thrown in that late afternoon window. Would you rather have that or them on Monday night? Like, I'll take Monday night. I like having red zone. I like having the Sunday ticket, which I do, but, you know, I've got an opportunity to get a late game if there's a dog in the early window. I'm into it. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. We'll wrap things up. Hand off to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Top of the hour. Sean McDermott scheduled to be on the show at 10:45 today on a Football Friday on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Tune in to WGR each Bills game day during the regular season for your chance to answer our tailgate trivia question. Presented by Game Day Hospitality, your chance to win two VIP tickets to Game Day Hospitality's Red Zone Tailgate Party. Tickets include food, drink, entertainment, and access to the VIP tent. Visit our contest page at WGR550.com for details. We've got for college football this week.
Georgia, Texas.
Who's UB got? UB's in first in the MAC, by the way. Navy and Army are both in action, and they are ranked for the first time at the same time in 60 years, and they could be playing each other later in the year for a playoff spot. Army and Navy.
Yeah.
You also have Alabama and Tennessee, 7-11.
It's great to have college
football. And Illinois wearing those leather helmets that we talked about.
A great, great week of college football. Also, importantly, the Premier League is back.
Yes.
That's the key.
Come on, Liverpool.
I need the top of the table. When I wake up on a Saturday morning and it's 7:30, I need a game on. And Spurs-West Ham is going to deliver at 7:30.
Spurs-West Ham. All right.
Let's go.
All right.
Give me a game at 7:30 in the morning. It's all I need. All right. We're both back on Bill's game day.
Bill's game day,
yeah. We'll be there in the stadium. I'm ready to see the canopy. I saw Bill Whipper posted on Twitter some new photos of the stadium canopy, I believe.
Yep.
And, I mean, come on. It's coming along.
I think it's the spring when they finish like the whole outside of it.
Yeah.
And we're up to like 1,000 workers a day at the stadium.
Bills minus 8.5. I'm telling you.
It's the most they're going to be favored by all year, right? What other game would they? One of the New England games?
Maybe a New England game here.
That's probably it, though.
Yeah.
Miami, maybe, if it's not Tua.
Maybe. Yeah. I think they're going to win by like... I think they're going to win by 14.
Well, they're not on the road at Indy. No, they're not going to be favored by 8.5 at Indy. Probably.
Scott Spratt just pointing out of FTN Fantasy, Javonte Williams. So, you know, Javonte Williams had a nice game yesterday. Maybe you've been holding out hope for Javonte Williams. You just rolled your eyes. What? Did you give up on him?
I traded him 2 weeks ago for Ty Chandler, thinking I was going for a backup with upside if he became the starter, and then immediately Javonte Williams. Go ahead.
Okay. Did you see the stat?
No. What's he doing?
So Javonte Williams avoided tackle rate by year.
Oh, because I already know one part of this. Year one was the best ever.
25%. He was elite.
I think it was the most, since they started tracking that, he was better than anybody.
Yep, Javonte Williams, incredible at avoiding tackles. In 2021, 25%. 2022, torn ACL.
Yep.
2023, 16%.
Okay.
September, 17.5%.
That's when I traded him.
October, 21.1%. He's on his way back.
Sweet.
If you have Javonte Williams.
Gave up too early.
Yep.
Hold on to him.
Should I give up on Kyle Pitts?
Yes. I'm not spooked by giving up on Williams. That guy you can give up on. Pitts, enough.
I'm not so sure.
Enough with Kyle Pitts.
He's going to have a big week this week. They play Tampa.
Enough.
Don't forget, in the history of 500-yard passing games, six all time, three are against the Bucs.
Okay.
Might have another one this week.
It's not going to be Kyle Pitts.
They play Tampa? Who does Tampa play? Baltimore.
Oh, Baltimore. Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, Tampa.
What am I thinking? Atlanta. Atlanta plays Seattle.
Yes.
Sorry, I mixed up my games there. Anyway, we're out of here. Talk to you Sunday from the stadium.